daily life that teach and show you how to be happy, how to find that peace of mind, and to know yourself. The books of Peter, I know you're going to enjoy them.
And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Wise and prudent. That's what we're going to be talking about today. They are two Greek words, and we're going to take them in the Greek. Of course, the Hebrew is basically the same meaning. But it's important that you be wise, and yet at the same time prudent. Probably my definition of prudent would be cautiously using common sense. There's nothing difficult about our Father's Word. It simply amounts to that, cautiously using common sense. We were given with a born instinct of what's right and wrong. And basically to absorb God's Word gives us knowledge enough that we can be prudent within deciphering that or assimilating it. The word wise in the Greek tongue is phronimos, phronimos, and it means a cautious character, so you can see where that comes from in part. Prudent is sun et os, and it means let's go to the etymology of it. It means somebody that can put something together, okay? That's all it means, really. Somebody that can put things or something or stuff together. They can hear something and they're going to pull the facts that they should from it, and they're going to cull the rest, and they're going to be able to even take God's Word and pretty well put it together cautiously using common sense. People try to make God's Word so deep and so fathomless that the average person has no opportunity whatsoever. It's a mystery. No, it's just a mystery to the stupid, okay? To the ignorant, to those that have not studied God's Word. That's where it's a mystery. Why? They simply haven't tried. So we go into that Word using common sense, knowing that your Father, through the Son, has promised you He would foretell you all things. How in the world could He foretell you all things if He spoke in a different language or in a different level than you are able to ascertain? He wouldn't, because God is not a liar. Now, the first thing one learns, and we can pretty well do this on our own as we come into this world, as we're children and we come up to maturity, and children themselves can determine and discern, is that there's two kinds of wisdom in this world. There are two types of characters that can put it together cautiously for different causes than we do, or that one that tries to follow the righteous path does. So there's kind of wise and prudent in ways of the world, and there are those that are wise and prudent using common sense. Common sense lets you know you don't want too much that this dispensation or world age has to offer in the worldly, earthly sense. So you attain a higher level of thinking. In a sense, that's what the word resurrection means, is raising yourself. There's about three meanings for it. One of them is raising yourself to a higher level of thinking. And to be wise and prudent will give you the tools that you need, which is simply your common sense and our Father's Word. So open your Bibles, if you would, to the great book of Matthew. We're going to do everything in the book of Matthew today. First, we're going to take the wise and prudent of this world from the teachings of Christ. Turn with me to the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew. And let's have a little grasp for what you shouldn't be, and then everything else in this lecture hopefully is going to be positive. Jesus had just shown them that the Son of God was standing before them, and because the witnessed by the mighty works that He had done, And then he makes this statement in verse 25 of the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew. It reads, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father," he's talking to our Father, "Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes." In other words, when Christ established the ministry of the second advent, that is to say, this one coming up, I want to be careful how I choose my words here, what? But that would look forward to his second advent, then it started a new belief that the Savior had come. And that's why it's written in other places, it's as a babe you must go to him. You kind of have to rake off some of the old thinking, because he would be fulfilling many of those things which we call the old ways, and yet there's nothing new under the sun. It's simply a continuation in another dispensation, that's to say time after Savior paid the price. All right. So the wise and prudent of that time, wise and prudent in the world, were so steeped in traditions that they could not see the truth. They could not understand that God loved us enough that he would send his son, that on simply believing upon him, hey, that's difficult, isn't it? Believing upon him, to truly believe upon him, you wouldn't perish. You would have eternal life. That's not difficult. Common sense. God said it, as the little children sang, and that's good enough for me. It's true. Absolutely true. So, to develop a working knowledge then, let's look to the positive. Christ, let's back up, if we may, to the 7th chapter in this book of Matthew's. You're all familiar with this particular saying, but I want you to look at it perhaps in a little different light, understanding that God's not going to hide anything from you. He had just said to them, they wanted to know, well, how can we tell the false prophets? How can we tell the false teachers? And he simply said, hey, test the tree. You don't have to be too intelligent to walk up to an apple tree, and if it's got a bunch of plums hanging on it or oranges, something's wrong. You know, that's common sense. And he was making it that easy concerning false prophets. What he was saying, and the bottom line is this, when you cautiously use common sense, that any prophet, teacher, evangelist that brings any message other than the chronological order in which Christ said events would happen is a fake. He's false. You can tell by looking at the tree. Test it. And then he continues to pick up the thought for today. Let's go with the 21st verse, because it's obvious many are going to follow the false teachings. And he stipulates, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. They're not going to make it. But yet they call on him. Why? They call themselves Christian, for one thing. But he that doeth, I want you to underline in your mind that word do, doeth. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Well, what is God's will? It's simply right here in your hand. You can't do the false prophet's teachings, and you can't worship the false Christ and expect God to love you. It's not going to happen. But he also said that you've got to be a doer of it. You can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you don't do anything about it within your own structure, mental structure, I'm sorry, it's not going to do you any good. So there are going to be a lot of people that think they have done well, but they have lacked what? Wise and prudent judgment. Common sense. Tried to make some big thing out of the simplicity in which Christ would teach. And what's he going to do with them? I'm sorry. Out of here. Bye. Go. They even tried. Bear that in mind. But they listened to the wrong fathers. The wrong father. There are two of them. There are true father and one that claims to be a father. He's not. He was created by Almighty God himself. I speak of Satan. Satan carouses. He tries to deceive all that he can. And that's no mystery to you. You're aware of it. And he continues in verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Question. Well, they claim to be. They claim to be prophesying his name. Hey, if you don't believe that, turn on your boob tube sometime. Listen for a while. They claim to be coming to you in the real word of God. But sometimes it's hard to find God's word in their speeches. Because they don't quote God's word, but it's their own. Rarely will you get over one scripture of what God really said. But they've got a lot to say. Be careful. And in thy name have cast out devils, question. And in thy name done many wonderful works. All my life I strived. Never quite got around to picking your word up, but I was a Christian. And I was in that army marching. And I was doing everything I was told to do. But the trouble is, who told you? It had better be your father. That's why you want to be very cautious of listening to this man or any other man without checking him or her out in the Word of God. Verse 23, and then when? On that day. What day? The day he returns. And then will I profess unto them, I'm going to tell them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's important. One of the greatest sins you can do is to misrepresent God's word. And that's the truth. One of the greatest iniquities that you can participate in is false teaching. Never let that cause you fear to plant seeds. Because do your homework till you know you're right from your Father's Word or as the Holy Spirit leads you using common sense. But that day's coming. He gives you. Christ was a wonderful teacher. He always uses analogies that, you know, children can understand. So he puts this in its perspective whereby you're not going to be confused about false prophets. What does he say? Verse 24. Therefore, because of this, whosoever, that means everybody, heareth these sayings of mine, of whose? Of some false prophet? Mine, Jesus says. And doeth them. Now, there are two things there you must do. Hear and do. It doesn't do any good to just hear alone and never do. And those that do and never hear are always messing up doing what someone else has told them to do. Well, that was Reverend so-and-so that told me that. Reverend so-and-so perhaps is not going by God's word. And you may be doing something contrary to the Word of God, and Jesus verifies that in the prior scripture by saying, get out of my sight. I never knew you. Why? If you're praying to the first Christ that's about to appear soon, who is the spurious false Christ, I'm sorry, well, I've never been taught about that, then you're in bad shape. You should have been. It's simply put forth in God's Word that a child can understand. That is to say, the chronological order of events. Sometimes listening to man can get you in trouble if it never quite gets around to teaching God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. So you must be, understand this, whosoever hears and does. That's a qualifier. Then I will liken him unto a wise man, sun etos, a man that is able to discern, a man that can cautiously use common sense. That's what Jesus said. Not something complicated, but that can cautiously use common sense. I'll even say horse sense, if you like. That you were born with. And taking all the facts that you, from a child up, assemble in your mind, sifting out those that shouldn't be and bringing in those that are. Hearing and doing. Doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now here comes the analogy. This is how the wise person reacts. Listen to it. And the rain descended, it always does, sooner or later, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. That means in your life, you're going to be tried and tested by life itself. How are you going to handle it? Your little old family is going to have a storm hit it occasionally. Are you set for it? I mean, I think all of you have experienced this, unless we've got some perfect people around here that maybe live in a different level than I do or something in their lives. You're going to have trouble. But he tells you how to get around that. And beat upon that house, and it fell not. A good house will not fall. Why? For it was founded upon a rock. And what was that rock? That rock is Christ, the one speaking here, the one writing. If you fashion your family, and if you build that house, what is that house? In your mind, let it be God's tabernacle, the house of God, the place you're supposed to study from His house, the many-membered body, which to say is study the Word of God and no other. So it's that simple. He draws these little analogies whereby you can picture this house. Many of you have seen some severe storms in the news within this, and you've seen houses just, not only do you build them on a solid rock, you don't build them on the side of a hill either, you know, because hills have a way of slipping, or the water washing them right in. You know, somebody built a house in the wrong place. They built it on a sandy beach, and it's gone. So a wise person, you build your mental faculties, your beliefs, on what you hear, and you must be very discerning in that. What you hear from God, through His Word, and through the Holy Spirit, not necessarily what you hear from men, or you could be washed away. Where He would say, get out of my house, get out of my sight, house. I don't need you. You blew it. So think about it. You see how simple He brings, and we've heard this all our lives, about building that house, that the wise man builds his house or bases his family upon the teachings of Christ. And I guarantee you it will weather any storm. Why? A little deduction of what you have retained from God's Word. I will never allow anything to be placed upon you that you cannot handle, and I will always give you a way out. I will take you across. So what does it matter? You are a child of God that can use common sense and not get twisted around by the first little wind that blows and puffs at you. You stand erect and solid in the course and the way that He has set forth for us, hearing and doing. Practicing in our own lives the principles that He has set forth, to be cautious about what we hear and what we do, but to be sure that you do hear and that you do, but not as those wise of the world would do, but as those that are wise in His Word are led through His Word and the unction of the Holy Spirit to do the simplicity, the simple acts that He has set forth in maintaining our spiritual minds, whereby we can discern that is right in a simple way. Okay? So, you built your family on that rock. Because I'm going to tell you what happens. When something happens to a family that is really shaking, if it's not on that rock, it's going down. It's so much easier to be familiar with the teachings and to know that God's in control and that your house is solid, can't be shaken by Satan, because you are a child of God and nobody can play games with you, that is to say, deceive you, because you have heard and you have done in your family and in your lives. Okay, now let's go to the other side of this, verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, see, they heard them. Didn't say those that can't hear it. It says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. They hear them, but they won't do them. Shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Now, why did he say those that have heard? Because those are the ones that have listened to the false prophet. False prophets repeat his word. They hear it. But they hear a bunch of other garbage at the same time. Therefore, they're not really a doer because they don't know what to do. Many times being biblically illiterate. Certainly in a high-tech age, I do not consider that an excuse. But Father does, because He's merciful, and sometimes we're not. But He does have mercy. So, they built this foolish... Oh, I want to talk about this word foolish in the Greek. I want you to learn it. You know, you might think, well, what kind of person is this foolish man? The Greek is M-O-R-O-S. Morose. Do you know where our word moron comes from? Right there. It means dull and stupid. Morose. Jesus put it out there where you could understand it if you take the trouble to grab hold of it. He said, why wouldn't you rather use a little common sense instead of being a morose, a moron? So much easier. Verse 27. And the rain descended and the floods came. They're always going to do it, beloved, in your life. And the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Satan always knows he knows the weak foundation. Boy, he has it all plotted out. He's got a blueprint of your home, and he knows where every weak spot in it is, unless it's on the rock. And then he kind of only sends his bravest little troops in. That's why sometimes they can be pretty deceptive. They're the best. Otherwise, if it's not built on the rock, he's got you. He's got you right where he wants you. So, don't be a moron. Be wise. Cautiously using common sense in discerning the Word of God. And don't ever let some dude try to impress upon you that, well, you've got to be dignified and only believe what we taught at Harvard, you know, or some other place of higher learning. You know, these were all religious establishments when they were founded. Okay, use common sense. It reminds me, you know, people understanding the Bible, they're kind of like two Irishmen I knew. I can tell jokes about Irish, okay? Because it doesn't offend them too much when people make light of them, because they're proud of being Irish, okay? But Pat and Mike had two horses. I mean, they weighed exactly the same. And And they, when they worked, they both worked, and they both came to the trough at the same time, just identical. You could not hardly tell them, I mean, their actions, you couldn't tell them apart. So they decided, one day, let's measure them and see which one's the tallest. And sure enough, Pat's black horse was 2 inches taller than Mike's white one. Okay. Now, only an Irishman, I suppose, could understand that, and I don't have too many Irishmen in here, I guess, okay? But be that as it may, okay? Some people have that much trouble with understanding God's Word, they have a mental block inserted somewhere saying it's got to be complicated because God is big. Well, we're built in His image. We're created in His image. And He loves and understands a lot better than we do. So don't make Him out of reach or you got trouble. God is supernatural, which means He's more natural than you are. He understands, and common sense fits Him a lot better than it does us, in a sense. Because, you see, He put everything together where it works, and only common sense can understand how it works. I'm talking about the very nature itself. Okay? It's like, we know this plant right here, we could cultivate that. I hope I'm saying right. I can't hardly tell sometimes, but we could water it and it wouldn't help it a bit because it's plastic, I think. I'm not sure. I don't. But, I mean, you have to think just a little bit, you know. God's Word isn't difficult, all right? Well, so, some of these teachings, this is going to be a very basic. We're going to handle some very basic scriptures. Let's go to Matthew 25. That's where we want to go. I know that all of you have heard about the 10 virgins. But here again, we have a case of wise and prudent. We got 10 virgins, and this has to do with the makeup of Christ's bride, okay? Christ is coming back to take a virgin bride. Which means what, using common sense? It means somebody that hasn't worshipped another God, somebody that hasn't worshipped another Jesus, but is a virgin spiritually, has been true and faithful to the true Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what this subject is about, so that we zero our minds using common sense. Christ is going to use this analogy to show you what the kingdom of heaven is like and what it takes to get in, right? Which simply means to have eternal life, to be accepted by our Father. Chapter 25, verse 1. Bear with me. We've all heard it many, many times, but let's analyze. Let's think. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps. And 10 is that complete government, complete number where you got it all tied in there, all types, all right? And what are lamps? You know, they're supposed to shed light. And went forth to meet the bridegroom. I mean, we're at what time then? We're at the wedding day. I mean, the seventh trump is in the process of sounding. It's coming to we're about to consummate that second advent. Understand your time so that you catch the scripture real well. 2. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. 5 of these were able to put it together. That means to figure out the Word of God. That's to say, the wise ones. Now, how many of you, the 5 were foolish? Learn how that's spelt in Greek. Moros. Moros. 5 of them are morons. Okay? They couldn't put it together. Oh, I always go by exactly what my dear Reverend tells me. you. He deciphers the word for me. He might decipher you right straight to hell if you're not careful, because we're talking about people that call themselves Christians and have made it to the very end, remaining true. That you know and I know who shows up just before that happens, and if they're not equipped to handle that situation, they won't be virgins long. And that's what is taught here, okay? So five of them are able to put it together, and five are moros, dull and stupid. Now, let's teach it the way Christ said it, all right, so that we don't miss something. And I'm going to tell you one thing. If you're ever in a group that might say something on this effect, "Oh, dear God, we don't talk that way in our church. We wouldn't call anyone a moros." Well, Christ did. So if your church is too nice for Christ, it's just right for Satan. All right? Be careful. The only way you can exercise common sense is to have the truth, and that is the truth. Five of them were good. They could put it together. And five of them were morons. All right? That's what Jesus taught. So that you know what caliber of people we're dealing with here. What that means is, let's see, 5 and 5 divided 2 into 10, is that about a half? I believe that's about a half. And I think Christ is being generous, because he's saying half of the Christians in the end time that claim to be virgins waiting to bride are morons, as far as the Word is concerned, as far as knowing God's Word. So that means you've got to be super careful, okay? I'll get off of that, but I want you to see it the way Christ taught it. Verse 3. They that were morons, foolish, took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now, how many of your children, we're in a little different age where you flip a switch. Well, we'll use that. How many of your children would know that before the light comes on, you got to flip the switch, okay? Or, maybe you got one of those touchy-touchy things, or whatever, okay? But using lanterns and camping and stuff like that, how many of your children would know if we're going to take a lantern, it's got to have oil in it, or it ain't going to burn, okay? It's not going to work. Do you understand how moron works into this? All right? I mean, you stay with me. Work hard. Okay. Okay. I'm having so much fun doing this that I'm about to sidetrack myself, okay? But it's obvious then, that God doesn't expect too much out of you other than to hear and do. Okay? And it's not that complicated. So, verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, on a little deeper thought, this word oil is Eliyah. I'm saying God. Yah. The sacred name, Yahweh. That's why the olive tree is the oil of our people, because the tree in the Hebrew tongue is Eliyah. And the oil, as we use it in healing, doesn't heal you, though it's very healing as a medical remedy for many things. But it's because he told you to use it to anoint the sick. James chapter 5. And it is your obedience in doing that brings forth the healing. I just wanted to say that. Why was this particular oil mentioned? Because it's the truth, the Holy Spirit, the truth, the oil that flows through the seven-stem candle of Zechariah chapter 4 is God's Spirit of truth. And you've got that running all through you that will light your little lamp real good, whereby you're just a little light shining forth, spouting truths to those that need them in due season. If you have that oil in your lamp, all right? Verse verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, I mean, it seemed like it takes forever sometimes, doesn't it? Patience, patience. They all slumbered and slept. I mean, a lot of time went by. Verse 6. And at midnight, it's here. It's time. This whole thing then happened in the 11th hour, you understand, because now it's midnight. There was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." And, you know, that's the day's going to happen. It's going to happen. That's the day he was talking about a moment ago when he said, "Get out of my sight, I never knew you." They're going to think, "Oh, you don't know, Lord, how hard we tried to build a congregation for you. We take $5 bills under the chairs to get a crowd in to hear the word." Well, there's just one problem. If you teach God's word, you don't have to take $5 bills to the bottom of the seats to get people to come in. Okay? So that in itself is a fake. But what people do to gather crowds rather than to simply feed them truth. So that time is coming, and you want to hear and do while there's still time. Okay. The 7. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Now I want you to know they were all virgins right up to this last end. Claim to be good Christians. And I'm sure they think they are. Verse 8. And the foolish said unto the wise. Now, do I need to interpret that for you again? Okay. The morons said to those that had it together, "Give us of your oil." At least they were smart enough to realize at the last minute. "For our lamps are gone out." Going out. 9. But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." The proper thought behind that, I believe, is this. Is we can't do it for them. There's only one way you can gain knowledge and wisdom, and that's to absorb it for yourself. Meaning you got to want to. You can't pray somebody out of hell. If that's where they want to go, they're going. Right? I'm saying if that's where they want to go. Now, well, what about the intercessory prayer? Well, do it. It's good. But unless God chooses to maybe give them an attitude adjustment, or you can plant a seed by setting an example, there's not much you can do about it. By that I mean, let's take a drunk. You know, most drunks, sometimes, I've even run across drunks that thought they were good teachers. But nobody listens to a drunk. That's common sense. Nobody. I mean, nobody pays any attention to a drunk. Well, at the same time, you have to want. What does a drunk do then? Can you hide the bottle? I'm using an analogy. I'm not coming down on somebody that has an alcoholic problem, all right? That's an unfortunate situation, but spiritually it's the same thing. Wouldn't do you any good to hide the bottle. I guarantee you he or she will find a way to have another, or they've already outthought you and got one hid in the woodpile or somewhere. Okay? They're way ahead of you. So the only way you can get him to quit is for him to want to quit himself. And the only way that someone can understand God's word is to want to for themselves, and to dig it out and absorb it, and to pay the price of the love God demands before the Holy Spirit will touch you and give you wisdom. That's to say, one that can put it together. I like that. That's why I choose the etymology of the word, because that kind of says it all. One that's able to put it together and understand it. That is wisdom. Okay? So you can't do it for them. You can set the example. And that's the extent of it. Okay, verse 10. I'll go one step further in case we had any of those M-O-R-O-S, you know, that some way heard this. Let's go one step further. That means that if you want to learn God's Word, you need to humble your heart before Him and get into the Word rather than listening to men without proving them out. Okay? Enough said. 10. And while they went to buy, well, they went to do their stone, get that Bible out. It's about time I opened her up. That's a little late, friend. The bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. That day's coming. Too late, Charlie. Door shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, oh husband-to-be, open unto us. 12. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Verse 13, watch. That's the instruction. Watch. Observe. Cautiously. Using common sense. Therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Nobody knows the instant. When you put those phrases together in the Greek, it means nobody knows the instant. But you, through absorbing your Father's Word, know the season. Because He gave you many, many things that document that season for you. Why? Why? Please tell me why He would have placed this analogy of the 10 virgins in this particular place. Why would He bring it up now in this particular place of His ministry? Come with me now. Stay with me. Because it follows the example that He was talking about. And that's Matthew 24. What does He say in Matthew 24? He says, the very first thing, you see, in Matthew 24 carries all seven things that are the seals in the great book of Revelation laid out for you in common sense. And what is the first one? Be careful that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name, Christian, saying they are of me, but believe them not. If, and then He gives us the reasons and the way that you better use common sense. He even tells you what they're going to do to you. But back up, we're talking about wise, being wise and prudent today. So back up, if you would, to after He had given all seven of these things that you better be very careful of, or you're going down the chute, the slippery slide of deception. He tells you what He wants you to be doing when He does come back. And this is very important. A moros may not be able to comprehend that, but you can. This is what He would have you doing when He returns. Let's take that first, and then perhaps if we have time, we'll talk about some of the prior seven things mentioned. All right? Verse 45. Well, let's take it with 44. He was talking about His return, just like He was for the wedding in 25. 24, 44, the great book of Matthew. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. We're talking about the hour of temptation here. A lot of people think to escape the hour of temptation is to fly away. But you escape temptation by having knowledge. Now, a moros doesn't know any better than that. So they have to have a different way. And I'm not talking down to them, but perhaps there's still time that a few of them, if you love them enough to be blunt, would come out of that. Okay? But we know the seven things that are going to happen. Why? Because you've studied God's Word. That hour of temptation means you're too smart for them, because you've got it put together. It's documented in the 45th verse. Listen to it. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Who is someone that has stayed true to me through all this and can put it together, can still put it together? whom his Lord hath made, in other words, this has already been done, has the made ruler over his household. That's the one built on the rock, not the sand, okay? Always remember these things. To give them meat in due season. In other words, you're supposed to pass out, you're supposed to pass the plate. Well, now there are a lot of religious people, preachers, that are already going to misunderstand what I've said when I mentioned pass the plate. They'll probably stop right here and take an offering, okay? But we won't mess with things like that. We've got God's Word to teach. But feed them the meat of God's Word in due season. Make sure it's God's Word that you have heard from Him and not from somebody else without checking it out. Please don't think I'm saying don't ever listen to anybody. No, it doesn't hurt to listen, but check them out. You know, God expects you to do that, all right? In other words, what now are we going to see a faithful servant doing? Well, to be faithful, you got to be faithful, number one. That's not difficult, is it? He's got to be able to put it together, and he's also feeding the sheep. All right, that's what he's found. Now, verse 46. Blessed. Whoa. Now, this is the wagon you want to get on. Always have God's blessings. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so hearing. I don't believe it says hearing there. It says doing. All right? You got to be a can-do doer. All right? 47. Now again, this is what a wise servant. You don't want to be one of those M-O-R-O-S. Okay? You don't want to be one of those. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. He can trust him with anything during the millennium. Verse 48. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Well, the Lord didn't show up here, so we've got to start a whole other new religion and come up with a bunch more new signs, and we've got to start a whole new faith here. Write a book about it, make a million about the coming of the Lord, and try again. Well, it's all written right here. Why would you have to write a book about it? God's already written one, if you understand it. You don't have to start some new religion. Just do what he told you to do. Stay focused. Do you realize that that is the downfall of many people? They can't stay focused on the Word of God. Oh, but it's so simple. Once you see it, it is. But, beloved, you listen to me. Not you, and certainly not I, know all that God would have us know yet. So you got to keep studying. You got to keep praying. You got to keep seeking. Because if you think you know it all, do you know what that makes you? One that thinks they know it all is an M-O-R-O-S. I didn't want to say it, so I spelled it in Greek for you, all right? Now, 49. I've known a few in my time that really believe that. I don't have to go to church anymore. Do you know the inspiration that gathering together in fellowship and getting into the Word does for us? Do you know how that pumps you up for the week? And that's what gets the rocks solidified under your house, okay? Now, verse 49. And shall begin to smite, he gets tired of waiting, begins to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. He begins to go around with the ones that are teaching a bunch of stuff that won't quite align up with God's Word. See? And I'm not downing Christianity. I hope you understand that. But let's keep Christianity straight. What is a Christian? A Christian is a Christ man. No gender about it. Means somebody that follows Christ. So if you claim you follow Christ, then do it. This is his word. Don't listen to some man, or you'll be with the drunken. All right, verse 50. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him. And in an hour, there's that hour again. It just pops up all through Christ's teachings. He's talking about the hour of temptation that you'll read about when the false Christ is here in the 17th chapter of Revelation. 1 hour will the son of perdition claim to be Jesus. and many will think he is, that he is not the hour that he's not aware. 51, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. That's to say, the play actors that play church. Okay? Do something religious like passing the plate or something like that in the name of Jesus. All right? There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Many that really, this is the sad fallout. A picture in your mind, some person, let's say along about my age, that all their life they filled that church pew. Never cracked the book on their own necessarily to get into the real depth, the simplicity. But listen to the dear Reverend, and to find out he led them down Primrose Lane. I find that sad. It breaks my heart. They really wanted to do what was right. Well, I want to look good in the community, and if I'm a churchgoer, well, I'll be respected in the community. And it just looks good to go to church. And really, that's about the extent of church for them. It's like many people join certain organizations because for business reasons. You know, for no other. So you want to be very careful. There are a lot of play actors. Don't you be one. You be sincere with God, because you can't con him. Put it together. Hear and do God's word in your daily life. It doesn't take that much to please him. Just simply to be, let the love that you really have show forth to your family. All right? Be a builder-upper instead of a disparagingly terror downer. All right, that's good English. You understand that, don't you? I mean, it's so much better. You know, in Proverbs this past week, what God said about somebody that causes trouble in his own family is a wicked person. You know, so now there's one real easy answer to this. If everybody thought like you did, or if your whole family would do exactly as you thought they should, just think how simple that would be. But we're people. We're different individuals. God didn't take a cookie cutter out and say, let's see, how many do I want in this family? Five. Bang, 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 bang. They're all just alike. Well, so they all think alike. Well, what kind of, wouldn't that be a boring family? It would really be boring, you know. Think of all those little things that happened back in your lifetime that were exceptional, and the family still, when they get together and look back, you've always got one in every family that seems like he's in the right place at the wrong time, and funny things happen to him, and you talk about those things, you know. And it's wonderful. So always be good to your family. Be a builder up of it. That's a wise person, one that can put it together, not tear it down. Now, what were these things that he's talking about? Find them doing. Doing what? Well, he just finished. And he gave many examples. He said example in the 37th verse of this same chapter, 24, but as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. To who? The fallen angels. Not to each other, but to Nephilim, fallen angels. Why? Because Satan is kicking, I'm sorry, Michael is kicking Satan and his buddies, the fallen angels, back out on earth to play God for a while. Your documentation for that is Revelation chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. His playing God you will find in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. It's written. Have you read it? It's there. It's solid. Okay? Very simple. Unto the day that Noah entered the ark. He said, it's going to be like that again. So all you have to do is go back to the 6th chapter of Genesis, and you got it made. He talks about he talks about the days of Daniel 15, verse 15 of this. This is the seven things. I'm not going to cover all seven of them that are the seals of God. Okay? When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. What's it talking about? Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, where Daniel saw the desolator. I'm quoting the Hebrew manuscripts now, not the English translation, but you'll catch it from the English translation. The desolator. Who is that? Satan. Coming on the wings of desolation to deceive the whole world. When you see that, you better know we're in that hour. Okay? But then he says also, I want you to remember the ten virgins. For he says in 19 and verse 19, and woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. Which means what? It's very simple. To you that have eyes to see and ears to hear. Spiritually, he wants virgins. It means he's the husband. He's been gone 2,000 years. What does it mean if he comes back and finds you nursing a child? Meaning doing. It means that you have spiritually been impregnated. And not only that, you've bore a child and you're helping do his work. And then they want to cry, Lord, Lord, we've done many miracles. Yeah, look at you. Okay? Now, I mean, that's what Jesus wants you to see from this. You see? So, there are many, many things in that chapter that separate the wise and the prudent of God's house and those that are not, those that like to play house. So, use common sense. A child, you know, I really like the way Christ places things. A child can understand this. That's why you must become as a little child. There's nothing complicated about it. Why? Because it's common sense. So remember those terminologies. Wise and prudent, and be that way. Then be a hearer and a doer. And God's blessings will flow in upon you. That's what he wants. What is that servant going to be doing if they've got it made? Doing those things he told you to do. Giving that meat in due season. Because you know when the season is. We're in it. The doors are opening. And we're coming into that time. I thank our Father for the platform that he has given this ministry, because we are able with that platform to participate around the world now in seeing that meat, not milk, meat, goes out in due season. I thank him for that, and may we never fail him. For it is his word that is important, not ours. That's the simplicity of it. All right, Father, we thank you for your written word, Father, this direction, this guidepost for us. And we thank you for allowing us to participate within that. We'll be careful to give you the praise for it. In the name of Yeshua, amen, amen, amen.